Anyway, that was John 20, 19 to the end. I don't know how you feel about Doubting Thomas. I all think it's a shame that he's called Doubting Thomas. I'm going to rename him. Not that I can go against centuries of him being called Doubting Thomas, because I think he is Human Thomas. He's very human. We meet these characters in the Bible, don't we? And they're quite two-dimensional. They can be two-dimensional. Thomas is mentioned three times. Once when he says, Lord, I'm ready to come to Jerusalem and die with you. The next time when Jesus says, I'm going to go and prepare a room for you. You know where I'm going. Thomas says, no, we don't. No. And this time. So let's look at this passage from John. Just preceding this, we had Mary Magdalene go to tell the disciples that they'd taken Jesus' body away. John and Peter went and discovered that for themselves. And they went to the upper room and then they locked the door. And I get that because they were afraid of the Jews. And it was a difficult, very, very difficult time for them. I have no concept at all about how I would feel watching Jesus die on the cross. And then he'd gone missing. I just can't function with that. I can't function with that. So they locked the door despite Mary saying that she'd met Jesus, that he was in fact alive. So actually, the 10 disciples that heard Mary, they were doubting too. If you think about it, they were doubting too. And again, I have no concept about what it would be with the room locked, my heart locked against what I was hearing, and then Jesus coming to stand among us. That would just be mind-blowing as far as I'm concerned. And what did he say to them? Peace, peace I give you. And he meant, not as the world gives you, an absence of stress, but as I give you. Jesus's peace is very different for that. And I'm going to use the word shalom in future, because the word shalom means peace, but living your life in peace, in the blessing and grace and in the kingdom of God. Completely different to just that short word peace. So shalom. Then they looked at Jesus and they saw his scars. I find it very interesting that Jesus exhibits his scars, because we are all scarred, aren't we? And Jesus shares his scars with us, because he's not gone to heaven yet to have his new body like we're going to get. He showed them his scars. Then he breathes the Holy Spirit on them. It's a very short verse that sometimes we miss it, but he breathed the Holy Spirit on his disciples then. And then he said another short verse. As the Father sent me, so I am sending you. Yeah? So before we even get to Thomas, we've got some incredible messages here, haven't we? And it is about mission. It's about community and it's about going out, isn't it? As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Jesus did not do the missional and the evangelistic work on his own. He had the Holy Spirit within him. He had God with him. He went with God. And it's Jesus who starts the mission. We don't start any mission. We take on the mission that Jesus started. As the Father has sent me, so I now send you. Have the Holy Spirit. And as apostles of Jesus, apostles means someone who is accompanied. We go with Jesus' power and authority. We do not go in our own strength. Let's remember that. And all we are asked to do is to preach the gospel. All we are asked to do, in what we say, in what we think, and how we react, and how we tell people, how we speak to them. I sometimes forget that. I sometimes forget that, especially when I don't have shalom. It's very easy to forget that. But so we go out into mission, and Jesus comes with us. And then Jesus leaves them. And then Thomas comes back, and they tell him, and he doesn't believe. He just doesn't believe. You know, even Mary said, I didn't recognize him at first. So I get what Thomas means. He needed to see the scars. He needed that. It's very important to him. And poor Thomas had to wait a whole week before Jesus came back. I can't imagine how he felt in that week when he didn't see Jesus. But Jesus did come to him, and Jesus understood him, because Jesus heard what Thomas says. Unless I see the holes in his hands and in his side, and I put my finger in them, I will not believe. Quite a statement, that, isn't it? I will not believe. And Jesus knew that, and Jesus understood. And so he spoke directly to Thomas. And what was Thomas's response? Thank you, Val. My Lord and my God. That was his response. That was his response. And that's got to be our response too, isn't it? My Lord and my God. I did read when I was preparing for today. There's such a lot of paradoxes in being a Christian, isn't there? You know, when we speak to people and speak life to them, because that's what it is, we speak life to them, that's when our lives diminish, because we put Jesus first. When we speak in power and authority from the Holy Spirit, from God and from Jesus, that's when we become weaker. Yeah? So, and when we have the freedom, when we find Jesus, that freedom when we find Jesus, but we are yet enslaved to him. They're not negative paradoxes, but they are paradoxes. And when it says in the Bible reading about forgive, if you forgive sins, they are forgiven. If you don't, they are retained. My interpretation of that is that when you preach the gospel, that's all you have to do. And what you say, do, and think. You offer people that gospel. If they don't want to be forgiven, they don't accept Jesus, they are not forgiven. Okay? So that's what I understand that comment to mean. Now, before we go on, Sue, could you read the next reading? Because this is all about, this is from 1 Peter, and it's all about community and hope. You know, Jesus had his disciples, and they individually came into a living faith with God. We have three individuals. We have Mary, we have Thomas, and later on we have Peter. They all came to faith in a living God. But that faith matures within a community. You guys, each one of you, are so important to each other, because it is with your encouragement, your love, your compassion, your grace, that we help each other along. So being in community with the hope that Jesus is very important. And that's where this passage, 1 Peter 1:3-9, listen to it carefully, because it does mention the fact that we haven't seen Jesus, and yet we believe. It's talking to us. Thank you, Sue.